Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to That Triathlon Show, the podcast presented by scientifictriathlon.com. I'm your host, Michael, and this episode is Q&A number 28. As always, if you have questions that you want me to answer, then you can send them on michael@scientifictriathlon.com, and that's Michael with a K, or send them through the Facebook Messenger widget on scientifictriathlon.com. Before we get into today's questions, big thanks to Roka for sponsoring the episode. Roka are the world leaders in wetsuits, trisuits, and other triathlon and swim apparel, and also high-performance eyewear for all endurance athletes, from triathletes and cyclists all the way to speed skaters. The performance eyewear line is every bit as innovative and revolutionary as the wetsuits and the other products that Roka are traditionally known for, with, for example, patented Geico technology that makes sure that all the sunglasses really stay on your face. They cannot fall off. They're extremely light and comfortable to wear. Of course, superb optical quality. And now Roka even has prescription glasses that you can order. And they have home try-on options and all those sort of flexible exchange and return policies that you would expect from a great company these days. So check them out on roka.com and use the promo code TTS, all caps, to get 20% off your order. Also, big thanks to Precision Hydration that you can find on precisionhydration.com. They help you individualize your electrolyte intake so that you can get hydrated and stay hydrated. And they have a great team of professional athletes in triathlon, but also other individual sports and team sports that are using them, because they find that the individualization of that hydration strategy is helping them perform better. And some of these athletes that you have definitely heard of are Ben Canute, Michelle Dillon, Stuart Hayes, and Sarah Lewis, among others. And the way that Precision Hydration can work for you is you just go and take a quick quiz on the PH website, so precisionhydration.com. That will give you a ballpark estimate for how much electrolytes you need to replace in training and racing, and the Precision Hydration will make a recommendation for how to go about getting in those electrolytes. So then you can get your first box for free with the promo code THATTRIATHLONSHOW, all one word, all caps. And again, the URL is precisionhydration.com. All right, so on to today's questions. The first one is from G in Seattle, who writes that swimming was my first sport as a child. I swam from 6 through 11 years old. I have run just two half marathons, 2017 being the most recent. I have no background in cycling. My goal is to do my first sprint triathlon this August. I really can only afford to train four times a week for about 1.5 hours per session. All the training programs that I have seen require more days of training than that. Is there a way I can prep myself to do a sprint triathlon only training four times per week? If so, what would that look like? All right, thanks for your question, G. Sure, you can absolutely do that. And the great advantage that you have is that you have a fairly long time window for those workouts of 1.5 hours. So make that work to your advantage by including double sessions in that time window. That's my main recommendation here. So when training for a sprint, like, the goal should be to get in at least two workouts per week per discipline. So two swims, two bikes, and two runs typically. However, in your case, with a swimming background and only four workouts per week, as you'll see in my suggested schedule, I break that rule in this particular situation and suggest that you might do only one swim per week, because also that allows you then to really focus on your bike, which you have no background in, and that is the longest segment of the triathlon. So here we go. How to break down the sessions? It depends a little bit on logistics and also on how ready you are to introduce some quality workouts. So, for example, moderate to high intensity intervals rather than just steady endurance in your schedule. But I'll give it a go with a suggestion here. So first, I would definitely keep one of those 90-minute workouts as a long, steady bike ride to just build endurance. And ideally, you could go out on the roads and ride a hilly route to work on strength, even though you're not trying to push it, you're not trying to make it a hard workout, but you get some sort of natural strength-building efforts in there. Then the second workout, I suggest that you do a bike run brick workout. So this is very traditional. And in this case, I would probably do some quality work on the bike. So moderate or high intensity intervals. And you might spend an hour on the bike and then do a 30-minute run off the bike, which for the most part can be easy, I would say. But maybe the few weeks, the months or so before the race, you start to do that brick run with race intensity, not necessarily as a continuous race intensity effort, but race intensity intervals. And so there you go. There you have two bikes already. But then I'd actually recommend a run bike brick workout as well. So this, of course, is not for any specific reason because you're not cycling after running in a triathlon, but this is because I wanted to get in a quality run. You have done two half marathons, so you definitely have a running background. So you can get in like a 40 to 45 minute run, and this run can have some moderate to high intensity in it and be your quality run for the week. And that's why I have the run first, not second, because I wanted to do that quality run on fresh legs. So then after doing that run, get in from the run and then just jump on the bike trainer or just bring the bike out of the garage and go for a 45-minute steady endurance, nothing hard, just endurance zone 2 type of work and do that. And this is all to get in some more bike volume since you have no background and this is definitely where you should have the most time to gain on the bike. So now you actually have three bikes already because of the use of these sort of various brick variations. So finally, the fourth workout, I would suggest either a long swim, including a main set, maybe some race intensity intervals, or it could also be a 1 hour swim followed by a 30 minute very easy run. And especially if you feel that you also have a lot of improvements to do on the run side of things, which you might have. I think that probably you do actually. So my recommendation might actually be to do that second option. So do the 1 hour swim followed by a 30 minute very easy run, because a 1 hour swim will still allow you to do a lot of good swimming, have some technique work, have some quality work like intervals, and then get in some more run volume as well. And as you said, you have a background in swimming, and it is the shortest part of the race. With only four workouts per week, I am definitely deprioritizing it here in this particular situation. You will get through it, no problem. So that's why the focus here in this suggestion is more so on the bike especially, but also on the run side of things. However, if you do want to absolutely do two swims per week, then what I would recommend that you do is to still do this this long swim or swim run transition workout that I just talked about, but then exchange the run bike workout where you would start with a quality run and then go for a steady endurance ride. I would exchange that for a run swim with the same sort of structure. So you first do your hard run on fresh legs, and then immediately after that you end up at the pool and you do an easier technique focused swim right after running. So I guess that wraps it up. And to summarize, you can absolutely do great training for your sprint triathlon with the time limitations that you have, but you definitely need to become good at workout logistics and making these sorts of workout transitions work for you and work to your advantage. So I hope that this helps, G. The next question is from Justin in Ohio, and he writes, "Hi Michael, after listening to a couple of specific episodes about time management and planning, and also feeling overwhelmed personally with training, work commitments, and my own poor time management, I have a couple of questions for you. As a background, I got into triathlon in 2017. A coworker who had been doing triathlons for the past 25 years loosely coached me. I was doing 9 to 10 workouts per week, crashed miserably a few times from exhaustion, but I completed 3 sprints with the first race finished in a time of 1 hour 19 minutes. I then decided to train for a 70.3 in 2018, and the bulk of my training was 3 workouts per discipline, 5,500 yards swimming, 85 miles biking, and 25 miles running per week. With an approach of, this is what you have to do, and make it work around your life. I did finish the 70.3 in 5 hours 45 minutes, but that was with the swim cut short to 400 yards. So my questions, you've talked about volume versus frequency and that consistency is vitally important. My question is based around this. If an athlete is supposed to achieve 25 miles of running for the week, which is better? For example, 3 runs of 10 miles, 8 miles, and 7 miles, or 5 runs of 9, 5, 4, 4, and 3 miles? And how would this change for a 70.3? All right, so here comes the answer. And it depends. So the more of a beginner level that you are at, the more I think that frequency trumps duration, the duration of individual workouts. And especially with running, I would say that this is the case because it can be very risky when you do long runs. And a 10-mile run, that can really spell disaster for a lot of more beginner athletes. But I would say that even for many mid-pack triathletes, the latter option and focusing more on frequency, that can potentially be better. It does require that you learn how to be super efficient with your transitions and your logistics, so getting changed before and after and shower. But actually, you can get it down. It's an art, and you can get it down to almost perfection if you are focused. And that's definitely what I've learned to do, because I'm also struggling to get in my training. Of course, I train at a fairly high volume, but it's a struggle for me to get the volume that I want in. So I need to. I cannot waste any time either. So it's something that you need to practice, to not waste time when getting changed, getting changed back after workout and showering, etc. So you need to work on that. But if you do, then the time waste is minimal. And in that case, doing more frequent runs can be beneficial even for the mid-pack triathlete, I would say. Because it's amazing what you can do with those 5 runs, even though they may seem short and insignificant on paper. But let's take your example. The first run, the 9-mile run, that would be your long run. Steady endurance, nothing really hard about it. Then we have a 5-mile run, and that could be a tempo run. So 1-mile warm-up, 4-mile tempo. Then we have the 4-mile run, and that could function very well as like a fartlek run or some sort of high-intensity intervals, so a 1-mile warm-up again. And then 3 miles with those high-intensity intervals or the fartlek segment. So that works brilliantly. And then the 4 and 3-mile easy runs that are left would be easy runs, potentially off the bike. They would save you even more time and also allow you to, of course, practice running off the bike. For 70.3, when training for that, I definitely think that as you get closer to the race, let's say about 2 months out, that's when I would start to build up that long run. And then you might drop first to 4 runs per week and then 3 runs per week to allow for that long run to increase in duration if you're limited to running 25 miles per week. So, of course, you could also just increase the long run and keep the other runs the same. But this is a hypothetical example and we're talking about what is more important. And when you get closer to a longer race, like a 70.3, then the duration of the individual workout starts to potentially become more important than the frequency and of the workouts. So how often you do them. So to sum up, earlier in the season, frequency is probably more important. Later on, especially when training for long races, then the longer runs are more important. All right, so back to Justin's questions and question B here, as he writes it, is training time versus training mileage. I often hear it discussed how much athletes can train per week in terms of hours, like 6, 10, 15 hours per week. What's more important, training for hours or training for mileage? So this is, in my opinion, 100% training for time, not for distance or mileage. Like, it depends so much on the terrain where you live and how fast you are, put simply. Distance is just a byproduct of the time that you put in. And to give you an example here, think of somebody running their recovery runs at 4 minutes 30 seconds per kilometer. So that would be somewhere around about, I don't know, 6:40 per mile pace, something like that, versus a beginner doing their recovery runs at 8 minutes 30 seconds per kilometer, which would then be probably something like 12-13 minute miling. That's a very rough estimate, but it gives you an idea that it's almost half the speed, 4:30 versus 8:30 in kilometer. So a 5 kilometer recovery run for the fast athlete would take less than 25 minutes, which is totally fine for a recovery run, one of your easy, low volume runs, getting in frequency. But for the beginner athlete, it would take 45 minutes, which for a runner of that speed or lack of speed, to be honest, that really isn't recovery, regardless of if they're going slow enough. But when you're a beginner of that level, then running for 45 minutes, even if it's at a super low intensity, it is taxing. So it completely changes the whole outcome and the objective of the workout if you train to running 5 kilometers versus running, let's say, 25 minutes. So that's a great example of why you should not train to distance, definitely not. And this is something that I think is pretty bad, especially in running. A lot of plans, I think, are traditionally written in distance. And that's, I think, something that needs to change, put simply. Swimming, I would say, is perhaps a bit different in that it's just more practical and easier to plan it according to distance. But even then, you still should consider how long the swim will take you. So, for example, if you're time crunched and you don't have that much time, then don't plan to do 5 kilometer swims if it will take you 1 hour, 45 minutes to complete it. That's a waste of time. If you do have a lot of time and want to improve your swimming, sure, it might make sense to do a long swim like that. But let's say that you're doing 3 swims per week, as you said that you have been doing in the past, and you're training for a 70.3, then I would say that's a fantastic distribution of swimming time would be to do one slightly longer swim that takes you 1 hour 15 minutes to complete, one mid-range swim that takes you 1 hour, and one shorter swim which takes you 45 minutes to complete. That would be a fantastic way to distribute your swimming time. And then you can just plan the distances roughly. It doesn't have to be perfect, that it will take you to finish those sorts of durations. So maybe it is 3,500 meters, 3,000 meters, and 2,500 meters, or whatever it is for you. But still, definitely considering that duration before actually planning out the distance is important, even in the swim. Next question here, still from Justin. Justin writes, you mentioned about a lot of athletes training at 4 a.m. when the family is still sleeping. How does this work with biking and swimming that early in the morning? And also sleeping. If you want 8 to 10 hours of sleep per night, then one would have to go to sleep by 6 or 8 p.m. And I don't see how that really helps with family time. You can't bike outside during this time of day, so it's trainer only. And swimming, the facility might not be open that early. To answer those things, I think that 4 a.m. is very early. And I don't, maybe I mentioned that some people train that early, but I don't think that a lot of people train that early. And it's certainly not recommended if you can start training a bit later, because that is very early. I do think that a lot of people start training between 5:30 or 6:30 or so. And because that still leaves plenty of time for training, and you can get a good amount of sleep. If you go to bed at 10 and get up at 5, you still get 7 hours, for example, which actually is enough for a lot of people, although you don't want to necessarily go lower in sleep duration than that on a regular basis. But 7 hours can be good enough, and research shows that actually that for adults, 7 to 9 hours per night is the sort of the recommended window. And then there are individual variations that some people actually, they don't feel that they have slept enough on 7 hours. So you need to get to know your body and your needs, your sleep needs, to find out how early you need to go to bed. But if you go to bed at 10 and get up at 5 and get 7 hours, then that's, I don't think, is unreasonable. And that's what a lot of age group triathletes do. And of course, I would say that it's preferable if you have the option to start training at 6:30 rather than 5:30, because it gives you just a little bit more time to sleep. So if you can get a workout in at 6:30 and still have time to take the kids to school and get to work or whatever you need to do, then definitely go for that. But if 5:30 is what you have to do, then yes, do that and get to bed as early as needed for you to feel recovered enough, and that might be 10 It might even be 10:30. It might be 9. But I would say for most athletes, 9:30 to 10 would still put them in a good place to be well rested if they have good quality sleep. It's important to remember that it's not just about the quantity of sleep, but it's equally about the quality of the sleep, which can be affected by a lot of things. So that's a topic for another day. But if you get in 7 hours of quality sleep, then that is a really good starting point for most. As for biking that early, yes, trainer work is definitely the way to go. But even if the light outside wasn't an issue, then trainer work is probably the best solution for time-effective bike training. So that's not a bad thing, I don't think. The real key, again, with these early morning workouts is to become a master of logistics and transitions, as we talked about already before in this episode. So prepare everything in advance the evening before, for example, packing your swim bag, your post-workout nutrition, laying out your clothes, both the training clothes and your change. Have everything ready to go, and work it to perfection, because you can improve a lot that you might not think possible and really get some time off from these transitions, so to say. So as an example, when I've had early morning swim squad workouts, I always used to, like, when I get dressed, I dress in my Speedos right away and then pull my jeans over them and then just commute to the pool that way. So when I get to the locker room, there's one changing step less because I already have my Speedos on. I just pull off my jeans. I can essentially undress while walking into the locker room and barely even stop before walking out to the pool area. It's like a 10-second operation. So hope this doesn't paint a too vivid picture, by the way, but that's a small change that you can make, but there are thousands of changes like that add up together to make you become a master of these transitions and logistics. Another example that I've used is to prepare a post-workout smoothie that would be it would have a lot of energy, so, and the post-workout nutrients that I need. So after a hard bike workout, it's also my breakfast so I get enough energy, I get the carbohydrates and the protein that I need. I prepare it the night before, put it in the fridge, and bring it in a bottle to next to my bike for my morning trainer workout. Then in the last 5 minutes or so, when I'm usually warming down for a little bit, then I consume the smoothie then and there on the bike while still pedaling. So then I don't need to, first of all, I don't need to prepare anything after that bike workout. It's already prepared. But also I don't even need to go to the shower, change, and then get into the kitchen and have my breakfast. But I've actually already had my breakfast, and I can just shower, change, and then go and do whatever I need to do next. So this, again, saves you another 5 minutes or so. And these things, they do add up. So I would encourage you to really be creative with how you can manage time here. So the next part of Justin's question is, I briefly looked at your training plans and was amazed that even the intermediate sprint plan only had 6 workouts per week on average, and I think maxed out at about 8.5 to 9 hours per week. So yeah, that's a comment more than a question. But so my thinking when I do these training plans, it's not based on what is ideal for, like, somebody who wants to maximize their potential, because that would mean training 25 hours per week after you get to a certain level, even if it's a sprint triathlon. It is based on what the average intermediate age grouper can realistically do. Of course, for most people, it would be better if you can train slightly more than that, but it's really not reality from what I've seen and the feedback that I'm getting. So that's the way that they're structured. If somebody is using the plans and they want to add not hard workouts, but add more endurance workouts to the plan, then that's absolutely beneficial if you feel that you can still recover well and perform in all your workouts the way that you're supposed to. And this goes for any training plan you follow, I think, not just mine, that if you have time to add a bit more base endurance miles or distance or duration, duration, I guess, because we all just discussed that, then that's usually a good thing to do. But I think that when you create a training plan, you need to start from a point of what is typically achievable, like something that the user can actually achieve on a week in, week out basis. And that's why on average, those intermediate sprint plans. Of course, the Ironman plans and the half Ironman plans even have more workouts than that. But the sprint plan, you can get away with just 6 workouts per week and still perform at a fairly decent level. Then the final part of Justin's questions is that I also heard on one of your episodes someone say that training only 1 hour per day can be sufficient for sprints and still allow you to be extremely competitive. So that ties very nicely into what I just said. It is true in a way, but to be extremely competitive, it all depends on how we define that, of course, but to be fighting for podiums in your age group, for example, I would say that you can't do this from scratch on 1 hour of training per day. But if you have a strong base, maybe you've been swimming or running in college, or you have a longer background in endurance sports in the past, even if you have been inactive for the last year or two, then you can probably, then you have a chance of becoming extremely competitive even on just 1 hour per day. Because it's so much easier to get back to a level that you have once been at compared to building up to that level in the first place. So for somebody with no solid background in endurance sports at all, I would say that it's quite unlikely that you would become extremely competitive if you train 1 hour per day, even for a sprint distance, or at the very least, it would take several years of training 1 hour per day every single day, like Michael Phelps, although it was much more than 1 hour for him, but just being very consistent. By the way, I'm kidding with every single day. Of course, some strategic rest days would be probably useful to have in there. Let's say that you have a scenario where you would train for 12 to 15 hours per week for 3 years. That would be enough for most to become very competitive at the sprint distance. Very, very, very competitive. Then you can have a year off and you become lazy and lazy and slow again. And if you come back then after that year off, then you could come back to fairly close to that peak fitness that you had, even with just 1 hour per day of training after you've done that for some time. Because it is, again, so much easier to build back up to a level that you have once been at compared to building up to that level in the first place, which for becoming competitive at sprint distance, I would say if you're starting from scratch, you don't have that background already in you, then you would require more than 1 hour per day to become extremely competitive. So I hope that answers your questions, Justin. And this wraps it up for today. Keep sending in those questions. I'll link in the episode description to 4 episodes that are sort of related to the topics that we've discussed today with time management and getting effective return on training investment. And these are episodes 134, 92, 37, and 10. So those are interviews with AJ Johnson, Kate Roberts, Amy Farrell, and then number 10 was a solo episode. Also, since Justin mentioned my training plans, I thought I'd mention them again because it's been a while since I mentioned them. Remember that on scientifictriathlon.com, I have quite a few training plans that you can check out if you're interested in training for a sprint, Olympic, half or full distance triathlon. So check that out. And I want to read an email that I got in just the other day, actually. And I was reminded of it when Justin mentioned my training plans. So this email read, Michael, before doing your program, which I followed to the letter, I hadn't run farther than 3 kilometers. I hadn't ever swum in the sea, and I hadn't ridden a bike for 20 years. After 3 months of following your beginner Olympic plan, I completed my first Olympic distance triathlon in 3 hours, 29 minutes. I'm 40 years old, I work full-time, and I have 2 very young children. Thanks for making this possible, Fiona. So thank you so much, Fiona, for that feedback. I really, really appreciate it. It warms my heart to hear that. And that is another example of, I guess, time-effective training. That program, the beginner Olympic distance program, it doesn't have a lot of training to it, but it has enough so that people that are beginners and typically aren't as invested in spending 10 or 15 hours on training, it's unrealistic, they can still follow that program and, as Fiona did, follow it to the letter, and that will get them to the finish line very happily and smiling, even though they have no background at all and or a very weak base to start from. So, big thanks before we go to our sponsors, Precision Hydration. Remember to take their free online sweat test on precisionhydration.com and use the promo code THATTRIATHLONSHOW, all one word, all caps, to get your first box for free. And thank you to Roka for sponsoring the episode. If you are looking for wetsuits, trisuits, swimskins, goggles, and high-performance eyewear, check it out on roka.com and use the promo code TTS, all caps, to get 20% off your entire order. Thank you, as always, for listening. Keep training smart and keep loving triathlon.